So how's everybody doing today? Good. It's good to see you all. Thank you for allowing me to get up here and share. I really appreciate it. You have to excuse my long hair here. I haven't had an opportunity to get a haircut lately, and I thought about letting it grow out in dreadlocks like Todd White, but yes, but I think my son would freak out, and I don't think my wife would like me very much, so that's probably not going to happen. Probably not going to happen. How many of you were here, by the way, when Todd White came here to preach? How many? Oh, man. Was that electric or what? Something else, wasn't it? It's like the mouth of God opened up every time he spoke, and that fire that came out of his eyes, and he just had energy. He was running over here, and he ran over there, and he's all over the place. He's really dynamic. Don't expect any of that today, okay? This one thing I do know is that God gave Todd a particular set of blessings, and he gave me a particular set of blessings, and they're not the same, and that's for a reason. So, but I do have a word for you today from him, and it was actually, honest to goodness, inspired by my wife. Because we were sitting at home one night, we were just chatting, and she was reading stuff on Facebook, which is probably a big mistake anyway, but and then we started talking about the way that people behave toward one another and they let stuff get in the way and whatever. And she said to me, she said, you know what? People just need to remember who they are. And I went, light bulb. So I started to think about that. People need to remember who they are. And that kind of evolved as 2 weeks ago we talked about this. And it kind of evolved into remember who you are. And then late this week, about Thursday, Friday, it started to turn into remember who you are and live in the Spirit. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to try to get some practical ideas on how exactly we can do that. But I think, first of all, in order to remember who we are, we have to be reminded who we are. Now, you've heard me talk about this forever. I am constantly the build-up guy. I'm the one that pumps you up. I'm the one that tells you how marvelous you are, because that's what God led me to do. We had a situation at work this week. We have a gentleman there that's just a little slow in the uptake on stuff. You know, he does things slower. He can't process information as quickly as the rest of us. And you have to teach him two or three or four times in order for him to finally get it. And there were a couple of my drivers were actually making fun of him Friday. And I stopped them. I looked at him and said, you know what? He's a child of God just like you and me. And it stopped. And lo and behold, later on that day, I found one of those guys helping Tom learn something. And I think that's what's good about who we are. And we have to remember that. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I love this verse. I've loved this verse forever. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And you know what being set apart means? Being set apart means you're different from this world. You're different from the temptations of this world. You're different from the norm. I set you apart. You are one of mine. You are one of mine. I'm just going to drop these on the floor. I'll pick them up later. Because if I don't drop them on the floor, I'll get them confused. It'll be all over the place. See, I'm not tech savvy like Tim. I got the whole thing lined out in this little electronic gadget that I can stand in front of me and read from. So I just got to do note cards. When I used to be a trial lawyer, I had cards like this, and they were taped to a page. I came, you know, all the other lawyers would come, and they'd have their files and their briefcases and evidences up to here, and I had my stuff that I would use for exhibits, but my whole case was laid out on one piece of paper. Boom. And everybody marveled at how I could do that. I marveled at how I could do that. I guess it was just God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Some of you remember way back a long time ago. It took me about 3 weeks to put this together. But I actually put together a biblical chain of proof showing that we actually have the very DNA of God the Father in ourselves. Biblical proof that we have God's DNA within us. We're pretty special. You've got to stop thinking about that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 said, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation." Chris Volatin out at Bethel made a 3-week series teaching on just that verse. 3 weeks teaching on that verse. And he was able to convince, I don't know how many people they got going out there now, Tim, 6,000? 11,000? Got 11,000 people out there believing that they're just like Jesus based on that verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. You starting to get the point? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you?" Amen. You are God's temple. God resides in the temple, does he not? His Spirit dwells within you. And that sets us apart from somebody else that I'm going to talk about here in just a second. And it leads me into the next point that I'm going to make. Romans chapter 8, verses 1. By the way, if I were to give a homework assignment out today, it would be that. Everybody go read Romans chapter 8. A lot of this stuff is in Romans chapter 8. Paul, yes, it is good stuff. Paul talks about this, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. All of those things are in Romans chapter 8. So if you have time today, instead of flooding through Facebook and seeing who liked your last post, read Romans chapter 8 tonight, just for fun. Okay? Just for fun. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." And we've talked about that here at Bethel Defiance for a long time, that we are not human beings. We are heavenly, supernatural beings living a temporary earthly experience, is what we are. So, having said all that, we know who we are by creation. We know who we are by God's grace and by the redemption that we have received through Jesus' ultimate sacrifice for us. We know all that, but we don't always live it. When we come to church and we do praise and worship and we pray for people to be healed and we do all that, but then we go out there where we're smacked upside the head with life. And then sometimes life gets the better of us. And we don't act like who we are. We don't do the things that we should do. We have a heart, we have a mind, and we have a spirit. And way too many times we live according to the heart or the mind and not according to the spirit. And that's the essence of what I want to talk about today. You see, we don't want to be just church Christians, right? We don't want to do that. We want to be followers of Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." And there are going to be crosses. He warned us. Life isn't always easy. Sometimes it can kick you in the head and it hurts and it can tear your heart out and it can drive you crazy. And sometimes it's blissful and beautiful and amazing. You know? But Sometimes you just got to take up the cross and walk and follow Jesus, as opposed to coming to church and living one way when you're inside these walls and living a completely different way when you're out there. Yeah, we have to do as Tim says. This is practice. We practice out here, and then we go out and play out there. We play the game out there after we practice in here. And that is a beautiful, beautiful analogy for the way that we can live life. You know, I don't know about y'all, but when I come in here, there's a different feeling. I can feel God's presence in here stronger than I can if I'm standing at my counter at work. But I feel it in here. I feel it. And you know why? It's because of all of you. Because all of you have that same spirit within you. And it feeds off of one another. And we get stronger because we're together. And it's just a wonderful... Now, if we could just take all of that out there and share it with everybody else out there, what an amazing world we'd have. Wouldn't it be? It'd be lots of fun. It would be lots of fun. So be not just believers, but be a follower. We tend to follow what's in our minds and our hearts and not necessarily in the spirit. And that is a little worrisome because, you see, Satan has a heart and he has a mind. He has those just like we do. But he doesn't have the Holy Spirit living within him. We do. That's what makes us stronger than him. That's what makes us better than him. That's why he fears us. Yes, that's why he fears us. Years ago when Jacob was a little tiny, he said, "Daddy, are you scared of the devil?" And I said, "No, but the devil's scared of your daddy." Yep. That's why he fears us. That's why he's constantly after you, because he knows how amazing you are. He knows what you can do more than you do. He knows what you can do, so he sends you the temptations to drag you off of being a follower. He believes in Jesus. He believes in God. And follow him. So let's us be different. Let's us be set apart. Let's us be the difference. Instead of following your heart, following your head, follow your spirit. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Just try to jot that down or type it in your phone or something. This is a very interesting verse. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." So even God is telling you, it's one thing to say, "I love you, dear God, I love you, I believe in Jesus," and then to live it is a whole different story. And God says in Jeremiah, "I'm checking on the people that are living it. I want to know you're living it. I want to see you live it. I want to see you be a follower and not just a believer." And I think that that's important. I think that sometimes I battle with myself about that, because I grew up in a faith that was not so much a relationship type basis. It was more of a dogma type basis. It was more of a tradition type basis. It was more of a reverent type basis, not so much a relationship type basis that I'm living in now. And so sometimes, you know, I get battled within myself of the living that I'm supposed to be doing as opposed to the dogma over here or whatever. And I lose sight of the fact that Jesus came to us and he said, there's commandments. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest. This is the law of God. This is it. And you break it down to simple things. I don't know about you, but I need to break things down real simple. I need things to be kind of black and white. Because it's just easier for me to do that. And God has gifted me with a way of taking things that are sometimes complicated and breaking them down into simple terms so that I can understand them and I can help other people understand them. So it's, if you break it down into God's most basic terms, when he's talking about being a follower, that's what he's talking about. Even Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Heard this verse a few times, haven't you? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So, even though we believe in Jesus and we do some wonderful things in his name, if we're not walking the walk, if we're not talking the talk, if we're not living his life, if we're not following in his footsteps, we're falling short. And I remember the first time Tim started talking about sin being falling short. You're falling short. And I had a hard time, you know, because in me it was, if you do this, that's a sin. 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 And that concept of falling short was like, I'm having a little trouble with that. Well, now I'm not falling short. I'm falling short. All the time I'm falling short of Jesus' expectations for me. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint him. The man who loved me enough to die for me. The man who loved me enough to wipe out my sins so that I can join him in heaven. I don't want to disappoint him. Not in my DNA. So I'm going to make a concerted effort to not live by my mind or live by my heart, but live by the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. He was the perfect example. He was the perfect example. And though we're not perfect, and though we're not Jesus, there's only ever one of them. But we can sure walk in his footsteps and try. And that's what he's going to look at. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? I want him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want. Those are the words I want to hear when it comes my time. Let me just give you a few examples of what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. In 8, verse 2 through 4, he talks about walking according to the Spirit. In Romans 8, 5 through 8, he's talking about set your minds on the things of the Spirit rather than of this world. Set your minds loftier, higher. You're better than this. You're better than here. You're here. Set your mind there. Even Jesus said it when he was questioned by Pilate. He said, well, yeah, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom were of this world. All my subjects would be coming here to try to rescue me, but my kingdom is not of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, your kingdom is not of this world. Your kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom is the dwelling place of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Your kingdom is right here. It's right here. The dwelling place of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's only by falling to temptation that we lose that. It's only from our weakness, from our fear, from our misunderstanding, from not trying as hard as we should, that we fall short of what God created us to be. In 8:14, he says, be led by the Spirit. In Romans 8, chapter 20, or verse 23, he says, hope is in the Spirit. In Romans 8, chapter 26, he says, pray in the Spirit. All of these wonderful things, all about the Spirit. The whole chapter is about living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, living according to the laws of the Spirit. And it's just breathtaking to me. So, what would that look like in today's life? What can we do to live in the Spirit in today's life, to not sell us short? Well, number one, start every day getting before God. Get in with Him, get into His presence, get into His Spirit at the very beginning of your day. Spend some quiet time with Him. If you got to wake up 10 minutes earlier, wake up 10 minutes earlier. Spend some quiet time with Him. Get into His presence right off the top of every single day. Secondly, humble yourself. God can't fill you with the Holy Spirit if you're full of a bunch of earthly stuff. If you're full of yourself, or you're full of all the concerns, and you're full of the worries, and you're full of the fear, and you're full of the anger, and you're full of frustration, and you're full of all of those things, He can't fill you. There's no room. Let it go. That's not what's important. What's important is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what's important. Everything else will take care of itself. Everything else will take care of itself if that connection is there. And then, how about this for sake? All of you have been, you know that the Spirit talks with you, right? Or the Spirit guides you, the Spirit leads you. You know, you're about to do something, and there's that little voice in the back of your, you know, whatever, that's going, no, 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 no. You know, you want to do this over here. Or you're thinking, should I do this? Should I do A, or should I do B, or should I do C? And there's just something that's inside of you that's saying it's got to be B. How many of you had that? You've had the Spirit talk, right? Every one of us has had that happen, right? Okay, live according to that. Once the Spirit leads you, go. Leave the rest behind. Burn the bridges. See you. Bye. Go. You follow the Spirit that way. Everything else falls into place. Everything else falls into place. What did St. Paul say when there was a man that was that wanted money or whatever, and Paul said, I don't have any money, but what I have I'll give you. And He gave him a heavy dose of the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Yeah. And we can do that in our everyday lives. Everything that we do, we can give the Holy Spirit. See, it's hard sometimes in today's world to do these kinds of things that I'm talking about, because you ever notice this? The law of the world seems to change, doesn't it? Yeah. The laws of the world seem to change to meet our own little selfish desires or wants, or to justify our own conduct. We see that happen every day, all around us. Things that were once thought to be abhorrent are now suddenly acceptable. Things that were illegal then are legal now. Things that were bad then are good now. And you can't take a bad thing and call it good and say, well, I'm all good now because the rest of the world says my conduct is okay. You know, Father, all the other kids are doing it. Right? And what's the father going to say? The same thing your parents said to you when you were little. Okay, well, all the other kids are going to jump off the bridge. You're going to follow them? Right? So, yeah, don't be looking up at the father and saying, Father, but all the other kids are doing it. And the world right now says it's acceptable. Funny thing how the laws of the world change, but the law of God never does. Does it? Never. The law of God never changes. We change it. We tend to. You know, we tend to try to take something that's in the Bible and try to mold it and shape it and whatever so that we can justify our thought processes, justifying this. We mold it and we shape it because we want something so bad and we want God's approval for it, and we're living according to this. But when we live according to the Spirit, we know that there is just God's law, and we must live according to God's law. And then we're living in the Spirit, and then we're talking in the Spirit, we're walking in the Spirit, we're followers of Jesus instead of just believers of Jesus. That's when we are game changers. That's when we are world changers. That's whenever we walk somewhere, people just get a feeling. They just get a feeling. There's just something different about that dude. There's something different about that girl. Can't put my finger on it, but I like being around her. You know, I like being around that guy. I just feel good when I'm around him. That's what you are to everyone around you. You are a blessing when you're walking in the Spirit and talking in the Spirit and being a follower instead of just a believer. You are a magnet for people to come to Jesus. You're a magnet. And it's pretty awesome. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And it's kind of funny, but when obedience to Jesus is our desire, then our hearts start to recognize how wrong we are for following a path that's different from his. Yeah. When we want to be obedient to Jesus, we want to be obedient to God's laws, then suddenly this and this start realizing how foolish it is to follow this and this instead of the Spirit that's within us. So what's that going to look like on an everyday basis? How about this? How about when you're sitting and you're reading Facebook and somebody posts something and it just drives you crazy? Well, how about instead of rattling back some response that makes you feel better up here and maybe in here, how about you think about somebody you haven't talked to for a while and give them a call? How about we reach out in that way? How about if somebody cuts you off in traffic, instead of honking that horn or waving at them or giving them a dirty look or screaming some name at them, how about you say a prayer for them? How about when you see or hear people spreading rumors about someone that you know, and they come to you with the rumor, how about you shutting it down? Do you know that to be true? I don't know that to be true. I'm not going to. Please be careful what you say about other people. It's amazing what happens when you do things like that, how quickly things can get shut down. How about going and visiting somebody who's in prison or in jail? How about helping out a single mom who maybe needs a little help? And I'm not saying necessarily give them money, but if you have the extra, go ahead. How about just offering to have their kids at your house for a little while so she can get away and be a, you know, relax a little? How about when you have family members that are at war with each other? How about trying to be the peacekeeper? How about when you know you got a next door neighbor that can't get out to get their driveway cleaned off, you take care of that for them? Jeremiah Grevy. How about when you have a friend that needs a pickup truck to move something? Jeremiah Grevy, John Pfeiffer. You let somebody use your truck, right? How about when you know you got somebody who has a a relative going through a medical thing? How about just reaching out? Let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know you're loving them. Let them know that they're in your prayers. Just ask Shirley how valuable that was to her when her mom was going through stuff. Am I right? Yep. Means the world when people know that you're thinking of them and you're behind them and you're praying for them and you're supporting them. A while back, we went through a real hard time in this church when we lost some people. Valued members of this church for years and years and years, and we lost them, and it was hard. It was really hard. But boy, a lot of people in this place pulled together hard, and we supported Beth and her family and Betty and her family, and it was, that's what living in the Spirit is all about. That's the kind of stuff that's good. That's the kind of stuff that God's looking for. That's the kind of stuff that Jesus is looking for. When God says, I'm going to look into your heart, I'm going to look into your deeds, that's the kind of stuff he's looking for. The more of that we do, guess what? If you're busy doing good stuff, you're not going to be doing bad stuff. Right? Yep. You're busy doing good stuff, you're not going to be doing bad stuff. So do as much good as you can. Help out when you can. Pray when you can. Be in God's presence as often as you can. When you're in God's presence, the devil's going to leave you alone. He's going to leave you alone because he doesn't want in there. A, he doesn't want in there. B, he can't get in there. You understand that? When you are immersed in God's presence, Satan cannot get in there. He can't. He can try, but he can't. He couldn't even convince a human being that hadn't eaten in 40 days to eat something. He can't get in there. When you're full of the Spirit, there's no place for him. There's no place. So I could go on, and you can think of your own. You can think of all your own examples of how we can be led by the Spirit in our actions to make a difference. In your own lives. In your own lives. I don't know this to be fact, but I used to be a coach, and I know what Cord Earhart goes through with his kids. I know there are times that there are kids that are struggling with hunger or a mess at home or whatever, and how many times he's put his arm around those kids and convinced them that they're important, that they're a part of a team, that this team couldn't be the team it is without them. And it lifts them up. It makes them feel good. It gives them purpose. That's living in the Spirit. When Lisa, years ago, came up to me and said, love has a name, and it's Mark. Wow, that was a paradigm change for me. That was a life changer for me. That has stuck with me, and it will be with me the day I die. It will be with me the day I die. And you know what? It's not just me. It's you. Love has a name, and it's Jacob, and it's John, and it's Tim, and it's Lisa. Love has a name. It's you. When you're living according to the Spirit, that's what comes out of you. The love comes out of you, not the hate, not anything else. So, I know I'm running up against it here. I just want to just remind you of who you are, where you came from, what God intended you to be. And keep that in mind in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions. Always keep it in mind. Remember who you are. When you want to lash out at somebody, remember who you are. When you want to fire off some nasty Facebook post, remember who you are. When somebody you know needs help, remember who you are. When somebody you know is hurting, remember who you are. When somebody needs your forgiveness, remember who you are. When you've got angst going on in your family, remember who you are. When you've got a chance to do good for somebody else, remember who you are. When you've got a chance to make a difference, remember who you are. Always, always remember who you are.